Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. Trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you are all clear to know the truth. And, Josh, I need you to give me your pain.
I didn't bring it with me.
You did?
I can owe you some pain if you want.
Okay.
I can just, sometime when you're sleeping.
Oh, okay.
I'll just give you some.
You can just bring it later?
I'll bring it later, yeah.
Okay.
Drop a brick on your head or something. Yeah.
Brick on my head. Okay.
Right. Just an idea.
Okay. Well, that's always a good idea there you should come prepared.
I you're right. I should.
In the future.
I didn't read ahead to say bring the pain.
All right. Well, this week we're not bringing the pain. We're bringing you a new episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And which one is that this week?
This episode was just called Melinda. And at first I thought it was like a children's book, right? But then I realized that it was all about Agent May.
Okay.
Did you know she had a first name? It's not Agent.
Oh, it is not Agent.
It's not Agent. No, it's right. Melinda. So it aired on April 14th. 2015, and it was a good episode to watch while you're doing your taxes, getting ready to turn that in, so that's good.
It was not a taxing episode, however.
No, I don't think it was too taxing. Well, that's good, because you had to do your taxes.
While you're watching.
Yeah, right, and get prepared for, Titanic Day, but which is April 15th, right, the day after. Anyway, this was episode 17 of season 2. It was written by DJ Doyle and directed by Gary A. Brown. But why do they call Melinda May the Cavalry. I always get this wrong.
Cavalry is a city in near Jerusalem or something, I think.
Jerusalem Cavalry?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, why do they call her the Cavalry?
I don't know. Why do they call her the Cavalry?
I don't know. What happened in Bahrain? These are questions, we've been pondering for
a season and a half.
Three, four.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
1.35. Anyway, bad at math. Boy, I didn't come prepared with math or pain. I'm sorry. Next time, pain and math. That's how it goes.
You look like
you're in pain, actually, right now, just listening to me. Well, anyway, we find out the truth this week, and it's not pretty. So, 7 years ago, Coulson and May, they were on a mission to bring in a Russian woman who demonstrated some extraordinary abilities. So put that lady on the list. The list, of course, is S.H.I.E.L.D.'s records of people who are different, ones that may become dangerous, Sky.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
Well,
she's still at Afterlife, right, Sky? She's being trained to control her new powers with the help of Jia Ying. Jia Ying also reveals to Sky that she's her mother. So, and all things considered, given this new information, I think Jia Ying's, she's really holding herself together pretty well. I thought she was. And the reason she doesn't want anyone to know, actually, is because of something that happened a few years ago. Something that happened in Bahrain.
Whoa. Inception.
That was a good tone.
Segway tone.
Segway tone, yeah. That's good. That's good. It's like a trailer for our podcast episode.
Yeah, it was really interesting when they started tying the flashback together. I don't know that I was sold on it, but and again, this is one of those you and I think have talked about prequels for other stuff, and mm-hmm. For the most part, prequels are just you already know how it kind of turns out. So how much how much more can you put into it? And so they have, this is the twist that they kind of throw into that you don't know, or maybe you don't know exactly what happened in Bahrain, obviously.
And the other thing about prequels is you want to make it a good story that kind of explains some things people were wondering about, but not give away too much because you want to keep that mystery in there to keep it entertaining and to keep people wanting more, and coming back. So
right, because if it was just exactly everything that we had been told earlier, then you know, what's really the use of that? So, all right. Well, this week we are coming to you live from Star Wars Celebration Anaheim here in beautiful, sunny Southern California, just a sword in the stone's throw away from Disneyland. So it's I can see you, not like through a little video window or something like that.
It's kind of strange. And of all weeks that I should have brought the pain when I actually could have given it to you personally.
Exactly.
I didn't.
Slacker.
I know. I'm all so right. Sorry. There was a lot to pack.
I'm going to demote you down to like level three and a half.
Four,
maybe.
4.1.
No, it's 3.14. Okay. 1.5.
Okay.
You are horrible.
I'm on the pie level.
But so anyway, it's good to be seeing you here in person. So
this is a first for us. We haven't actually podcasted in person.
Not for this show, and not for any of the other shows that we've done. So that's pretty cool.
I'll try not to pick my nose.
All right.
Yeah. This episode.
You can put your pants back on now. That's totally cool.
All right.
So, all right. So well, as you mentioned, we finally get Maze backstory in this, which takes place 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. In S.H.I.E.L.D. time. So that would put it in early 2008, just prior to the events of Iron Man. And we, you know, Coulson talks about prepping S.H.I.E.L.D. for, he doesn't call it the Avengers Initiative, but the fact that they were prepping stuff for the, to not just put people on the index, but to, you know, to keep them in reserve or whatever.
And to use them for a specific purpose later on.
For defense whatever it was he was saying. So obviously this is before he, it seems like it's probably within a couple months before he goes and visits Tony Stark for the first time in the Iron Man film. And
I was kind of wondering if that was how they tied in, because he actually, I don't know if this was purposeful or if they were trying to make Coulson a little bit pre-death Coulson, but I thought he did. He felt like a little bit different character in this episode than we're used to seeing this season.
Yeah.
Just with his personality, his attitude was a little bit more the lighthearted kind of Coulson.
There was a little bit more lightheartedness to him, I think. And the biggest character change was May.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm so used to seeing Ming-Na play the character of May as just this real, closed off, terse, just hard, tough as nails. And this, she's joking around. She's, you know, having a good time. And it's like
she's happy.
Yeah. She was happy. And it's very much like you see Ming-Na in person when she shows up on TV interviews and stuff like that, or in person, which we may or may not have just seen her outside the convention center here. We know she is a Star Wars fan, so.
She looked pretty happy.
Yeah.
I thought so.
So.
We
were afraid to talk to her because we were afraid she was going to kick our ass.
Trying to keep a leg's distance away from her. Probably roundhouse kick.
Extensible. Right. Yeah. But so this is – the story is a little bit different than – what we've been led to believe. Well, it's more complicated than what we've been led to believe about what we've heard about Bahrain.
Right.
So did it come out in the same, did the story evolve in the same way that you were thinking that it was going to? I mean, is this kind of what you would imagine based on what the tidbits we had heard?
Well, not the specifics. And actually it was actually better than what I had kind of developed in my head based on the rumors and the gossip, you know, that people talk about in S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, the agents, especially early on in season one when they would reference it so often. And I never imagined it was this, you know, traumatic. I mean, that really, thinking about it and about who she was at the time and what she ended up having to do, it was traumatic.
It was definitely traumatic. And I definitely did not think it was going there. I was not as pleased about I we know she's a tough fighter and everything like that, and I, you know, we heard the rumors of all the people that she took out.
Sure.
And so to actually have the whole denouement of this of the story be that she really didn't take out all these people. I mean, she did something different, which is probably way more traumatic than having to, you know, kill a bunch of people.
Well, and she never really talked about it or denied that I remember.
Right. She never talked about it because I think when the subject was brought up, Ward was the one that was explaining to Sky, or maybe it was Fitzsimmons explaining to Sky about what was going on.
It's been a while, and I came unprepared. But I think actually they all kind of did. Gave her little bits and pieces of it, if I remember
right. And it's kind of everybody was embellishing their own little bits.
Right. But see, to me, based on what I'd heard on all those rumors, it almost seemed like she was on a mission where she lost a bunch of agents that she was in charge of or under control. And to you know, that always seemed to me like, well, for somebody like her, maybe that wouldn't be so traumatic because that's kind of a soldier mentality. You know, you lose people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's – It's awful, but it happens, and you just stay tough and keep moving on. This was way over the top of that. I mean, it was something much more personal to her just failing a mission.
Right. Well, so it opens up with her and Andrew. They're married. They've been married for some time, you know, presumably. Very happy. You know, not really a care in the world. They're
clean.
Planning.
They're very clean.
They're very clean.
Yes.
They're planning their family.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes over and has to deal with this, with killing this young girl, which, I mean, that's almost forbidden on TV to have violence against, you know, animals or kids, it seems like. And we don't actually see...
Right.
You know, anything with it, of course, it's all implied. But of course, it's, I can still be very disturbing for, you know, people. I mean, you know, I've got kids and I mean, you know, that's, I understand where they're going from a story standpoint. I did not feel as invested in it. And I feel it's from a story standpoint, it was a better way to go with the story. Because it explains so many different things about her. I mean, she's tough, but in a different way than I was viewing her previously.
Yeah.
Right. So I just thought she was this, you know, super awesome fighter. And like you said, maybe she had lost a bunch of her men that she was, mm-hmm. she was working with. So, and of course that would be enough to, you know, push anybody over the edge and stuff like this. But I mean, this is miles beyond that. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, it was beyond anything I had come up with in my mind, and so I almost kind of feel like it really, as disturbing as it was to kind of experience, I do kind of feel like it worked to explain why she was so messed up. So you know, in that regards, I think they did a good job. But in the same regards as watching an extremely disturbing Walking Dead episode,
yeah.
You know, it was sad. It was sad to watch.
Right. So. Right. And it was an interesting twist because I had not suspected it was, you know, the girl was involved anyway, because they make it look like the girl is the abductee.
Right.
In the entire thing, and they're going after the mom.
Well, and you said you weren't maybe as invested in as much, and I think part of that was because there were a lot of characters in here that we aren't familiar with, or
they had a ton of people, yeah.
That, you know, and so we, you know, we saw what was going on, and we saw why it was so hard, but we also didn't know those characters,
right?
So maybe, you know, I it still for me was still pretty disturbing. But if it had been, you know, somebody that had been on the show for a while, it was a kid that had been on there for quite a while, it would have been harder to watch for sure.
Right.
Glad I didn't do that.
Right, and it comes out that the whole cavalry story was really a lie. I mean, that everyone's kind of been telling each other, you know, about this, which I thought was really interesting. So,
you know, well, that's pretty common, I would think, to cavalry. Why can't I say cavalry? The cavalry story.
Cavalry and Hobbes?
Being a lie. That's common in, I would say, military, sports, here, you know, people embellish and then the stories change. It's just like me, you know, I mean, people,
right.
I'm really just more of a down to earth guy than everybody thinks. I'm not the
right
hero.
You're not as crazy as you are, as you are.
I can find a break.
Laid out to be, so forget to bring the pain. So yeah, well, it's more than, I mean, I felt it was more than just an embellishment. I mean, an embellishment would be like she killed 5 people. And then somebody says, oh, my gosh, she killed like 10 people. And then, you know, it slowly grows from there. But, I mean, she really didn't unless I'm seeing something wrong, she really didn't take anybody out.
But
well,
she
took one person out.
They don't know that.
Well, that's the thing.
They couldn't. They were hypnotized or trance or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
I think the only person that really knows what happened is probably Coulson and Andrew. I mean, I would think he probably knows.
Well, and May. I mean,
well, yeah, of course, but she doesn't talk about it. She doesn't share it. And maybe Coulson doesn't even know. But remember, there were all.
I don't think Andrew knows. I mean, I think that may be why they aren't married. I mean, because I would assume this entire thing. I mean, you know, they do it in one shot, right? Where she's got her hand out and he tries to grab it and comfort her, and she just pulls it away because it's a flashback to the girl's hand or whatever.
Thinking about it, I would probably agree with you that he doesn't know because he would probably be able to do something about it if he did.
Yeah,
being such an amazing psychologist. Is that what he is? A psychologist?
I think he's a psychologist.
Okay. Doctor. And he probably would know how to handle it and deal with it and help her. So I bet you're right. I bet he doesn't know. I think Coulson probably does because he kind of walked in and saw it and understood based on how she was sitting. But remember, all of those agents that were there, all of the whatever, quote unquote, I can quote you now because you can see
me,
right?
But
bad guys, you know, that she thought she was going in to take
the
out. They all died.
Bahrainians, right.
They all died because the little girl, she did that.
She waved her arms
it
and
it was like
poof.
The Jedi mind trick combination Vulcan neck pinch all in one, and she only had to like twitch, right?
Yeah.
So they were all dead. So those agents thought she went in and took them all out.
Yeah.
And lost the little girl, but saved all the agents.
Right, because she had locked them into the room downstairs, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Although they still did get out. And can I just say something about these agents? They're in Bahrain, and Coulson's going over to talk to the Russian, what was her name? Eva? Belyakov. I can say Belyakov, but I can't say Eva. That's nice. So they're standing around in the background. Are they supposed to be
blending in? Look like a cadet review. That's right. It's like, what did. Yeah.
So these guys in suits standing in a Bahrainian
marketplace. Right. That
nobody's going to notice.
No,
right
there. Of course not.
Absolutely not.
Hi, we're with S.H.I.E.L.D. Actually, I don't think he said that because he did give the full name, right? Because he hadn't come up with the. Just call it S.H.I.E.L.D., right? Because that was in Iron Man where he kind of came up with the shorthand for it. But I was just going to go back to May because what you were saying about Andrew being able to help Drew. Can we just call him Drew? Because
Drew to his friends,
right?
Sure.
Because we've seen him in the shower now, so I feel like I can.
We know each other.
Talk about him a little bit
we're
more.
Close. We're like this.
Spooning.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing? Because he probably would be able to help her. I mean, it seemed like she had some kind of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. I don't.
Is that another S.H.I.E.L.D. acronym?
This is a real world acronym.
Oh, okay. All right. Gotcha.
And but with her not being able to talk, I mean, she just went in to get a transfer and boom, you know, got it. And then this was 7 years ago. She's just kind of been stewing on this. And if she hasn't really talked to anybody, because Coulson seems like really the only one she might ever really be able to talk about this with.
Speaking of,
yeah,
I think she has, or he knows, or I don't know if she's ever actually talked to him, but he's been there for her, and I do believe he knows what happened because he was there and pieced it together, or she told him, whatever. But because of that, I think that's why it had such an impact on the present day part of this episode, where she was discovering. Supposedly, all of the things that Coulson was doing without confiding in her. So I think that helped to, you know, showing those flashbacks helped to show the, betrayal, you think, that she was feeling from Coulson for not sharing those things? Or maybe she was torn. Maybe it was,
I think we're supposed to believe it's betrayal. And again, this feels just, it's kind of the classic stuff that S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does, the show, you know, not the agents themselves, but the show does this where, Coulson's a bad guy. That's what we've been hearing for a couple episodes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's acting weird, but you know, we've been seeing what he's been up to and yeah, it seemed kind of weird but then, you know, he took Skye off reservation to protect her. Right.
Right.
But everybody else is pointing to his behavior as it's suspicious because they don't know what he's doing, but we can see what he's doing. now.
Well, maybe.
Well, for those things.
Okay.
Now we are in the same position as the characters on the show where we don't know what he's been doing. We were told that when he was in Spain, he was actually going to Italy. And when he was in Belgrade, he was actually going to France or whatever.
And he's been talking to Andrew and – sorry, Drew.
Right. Right. And Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew. And yeah, and he's been setting up these special – what are they – the special houses or whatever they were calling, the safe houses.
Oh, right.
And he's been having supposedly Simmons work on the Deathlock capacitors and stuff like this, uh-huh. but not telling her what she's really doing. You know, so just all this kind of stuff where – we all of a sudden are now back in the position of not being privy to the information from a from an audience perspective. We're in the perspective of the characters on the show. And so are we supposed to believe that he's really gone off the rails or everything's going on? And I say presumably, too, because you're saying May feels betrayal and maybe this is all part of the plan. Maybe he did stuff like this. I'm just throwing this out there. Sure. I have no idea, and it's not totally fully baked, I don't think. But maybe he set stuff up like this so if ever they were discovered and someone was trying to pit, you know, May against him, you know, or elements of S.H.I.E.L.D. against itself, that he's got all the stuff that they can discover and, you know, she can be, oh, of course, oh, my God, I don't believe this. And so she can mole her way in, and then they trust her because she's like, oh, my God, I didn't know any of this. But, of course, that was the plan all along for her not to know this. I would
buy that theory a little more if the scenes that they showed May thinking about this and discovering this, she wasn't alone. You know, I mean, she was alone most of the time when she discovered a lot of this, and she looked betrayed. She looked disappointed that she didn't know. And again, that could just be a writer's standpoint. I don't – you know, some of the things two points with the stuff that Coulson is supposedly doing. Number one, it feels a little fishy to me, and I think we've talked about this, but because of the kind of person we are as an audience to assume that the main character, good guy, mm-hmm. is supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be the good guy. We're not right. supposed to think he does bad stuff, you know?
Right.
But the other thing is, he is the director of S.H.I.E.L.D., or at least, you know, according to Nick Fury, according to what he thought.
Right. A S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. S.H.I.E.L.D. B, well, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
And isn't it his
prerogative?
Yeah, yeah. To be able to do things. I mean, you don't share – you think the director of the CIA shares everything with, you know, Carol the receptionist or, you know – Carl, the janitor at night. Well, actually, he's actually a double agent. So
he does know some. So stuff, that's why you would not share stuff with him. So.
That's why. So I don't know. I bet
he's good at sweeping things under the rug. Though, so. So, but yeah, you're right. I mean, they wouldn't.
No, Carl.
They wouldn't. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know why they're getting so bent out of shape about him being transparent. Is my point?
It's right. It's an espionage organization. I mean, and yes, there should be some accountability.
Of course.
For an espionage organization, but not necessarily transparency in that, in the way that at least Gonzalez wants it.
Yeah. I mean, Gonzalez is kind of acting like a spoiled brat, you know, like, you didn't share that with me. I'm taking my S.H.I.E.L.D. and I'm going home.
I'm going to park my boat where the sun don't shine. So, am I forgetting? Was Gonzalez in this one?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Right, because it was just
it was mostly flashbacks, and then they
right because it was Simmons and Bobby and May. Right,
those and Bobby wasn't even in very much.
Just, right, and she was there. I mean, again, I felt like she was there just to like, well, maybe we really don't know what he's going on.
And then seeds of doubt.
Right, and then Mac walks, you know, and then Mac walks in. Yeah, that's what I heard. I'm like, I. There was interesting stuff going on. I was much more interested in the Sky storyline because I felt that was fresh. I guess I just didn't buy into the nature of the stuff that we were seeing in May's flashbacks versus May's present. It I realized they wanted to tell the flashback stuff, but then the present day stuff seemed too contrived, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I would now. I was interested in the connection between Jiaying and May's flashbacks, but
right.
not so much the stuff they're dealing with Coulson, because I don't buy the whole thing. Something still just feels off,
right,
to me,
right. And again, I think that's what the writers are trying to do, right? I mean, they're trying to put us in that position. Yeah, I did like the way that that they connected the Sky storyline to the flashback as mm-hmm. well, which I want to get to in a little bit when we talk about that. But let's see, other stuff I want to talk about with Coulson, because we don't see him until the end of the episode, right? So we know that he and Hunter are off watching Mexican football. somewhere, and
it's a good thing that's all they were doing, because at the end, you know, Fitz just pops up on the screen,
right?
You know,
hello, oh, how did I get on here?
spooning like, on the couch.
Everybody was dressed and stuff was going on. And I really liked the stinger on this show, this episode as well. Not as much as the one last week when we saw Fitz with the cube.
I said sandwich. You said
the sandwich.
I suppose the cube's more important than the sandwich.
Well, the sandwich was the emotional context for right. for the.
Well, I was hungry when I watched that reconnection. So it connected with me.
Just so you know, last week I did order a prosciutto and mozzarella sandwich. I did not have pesto aioli. There was pesto in it, but it wasn't a pesto aioli or anything like that. But it's tasty, man.
Is it good?
It's really good.
All right, we're gonna have to do that. I like that idea.
Yeah, see if we can find some out here. So we really don't see him till the end. So, you know, we don't know what they've been up to. We can assume that maybe this episode takes place. There's a little overlap maybe in some of the Coulson bits we had last week, or maybe they've,
Now, why do you say that? Just because
we didn't see them doing anything.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
And they escaped from. But they didn't have Deathlok with them unless Phil sent him off to.
He was out getting a pizza.
Send him to do something. He had to get an oil bath or something like that. But then there's this other thing that gets brought up by May. Or I think it was May that brought up, or maybe it was Bobby. But the Theta Protocol?
Theta Protocol. Something just popped in my head when you talked about Deathlok.
Okay.
So, you know, we talk about all this stuff that Coulson is supposedly doing.
Right.
But one of the things that they claimed was that he was having dealings with Deathlok.
Right.
And we know that that is actually a fact.
Right.
So maybe some of this stuff is true.
Right. I mean, I'm not...
That was just an epiphany. I'm sorry.
No, that's cool. No, that's cool. I mean, and that's true. I mean, that was another one of those things where it's like, okay, yeah, that rings true. And, you know, you're saying that he's been lying about where he's going. It's like, well, we don't really have any proof of that. But, yeah, you're right. The one thing that they did throw into this episode to, I think, sow the seeds of doubt with the audience is that... Well, they said he was having dealings with Deathlok, and yeah, we know he's been in contact with Mike, and we saw Mike last week, and he's had Gemma working on this capacitor, which she thought was for, you know, whatever else, which why they had her working on a capacitor, I guess because it's an organic capacitor or something like that. I mean, because then she's the biochemist and Fitz is
that
the...
makes sense. It's going to be for Deathlok, right?
Yeah, if it is, and she didn't realize it was for Deathlok and all that kind of stuff. So, that's an apparent strike against Phil.
So you were going to talk about the Theta Protocol,
right?
Right. I mean, so we don't know anything about that. We do know Deathlok,
right?
We don't know about Theta Protocol.
Theta Protocol has been mentioned before in the episode "What They Become" earlier this season. Before the break, when Coulson assigned the Koenig brothers to implement it, he had said something about implementing the Theta Protocol, but we didn't get any. It's just one of those kind of.
So why aren't they talking to the Koenig brothers?
Right. Well, and where are they? I mean, what is the Theta Protocol? So
maybe that was the Theta Protocol was the firing of the Koenig brothers. They got laid off from S.H.I.E.L.D. or something.
What are they going to do now? They're going to just be like body doubles or something like that for each other.
Did you get the sense? I mean, I guess hearing that thing about the Koenig brothers is a little suspicious of it being something legitimate, but it almost sounded like it wasn't something real. You know, or like it was something – like it's going to turn out to be something not as serious as they think. Actually, right. Something very helpful.
It's just one of those – you know, it's like, hey, Josh, when I tell you to institute the Omega Protocol, I want you to, you know, get me a coffee. Right. You know, you think it's going to be one of those things where it's like, oh, that was just the code word we use when we know someone's infiltrated the base and yeah. We have a mole or something
like that.
You know
what? This is stupid, but it reminded me – I think it was an old – G.I. Joe episode or something where they got this message that the Viper was coming.
The Viper is coming.
And
right.
It ended up being the Viper of Windows.
The Viper of Windows. Yeah. I totally remember that episode. Yeah. Okay. I am the Viper. Yeah, because he kept calling, right? It was one of those, and I think it's like based on an old joke or something like that, probably too, where, and he keeps calling, leaving the message that the Viper is coming.
Every time the real S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents would mention Theta Protocol, it made me think of something that was probably not anything close to what they thought it was. Nothing nefarious, nothing.
Right. They think it's this massive world-changing event and you know, it's like
maybe it has something to do with Fury. Maybe
we're changing the IP addresses on all the computers or something like that. The Theta Protocol.
It's password change time. Implement Theta Protocol. Ah, oh, dang it. I hate this.
I already had my password memorized.
Oh, it was my dog last time. I'll do my cat this time.
Oh, no. I've already used that one. So, yeah, maybe it does have something to do with Fury.
Nick Theta.
The Fury Protocol.
Theta.
Right. And, you know, we've got... I was talking to some people at work. It's like we got Avengers Age of Ultron coming up in like 2 weeks, I think. I think there's two more episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D. before Age of Ultron. So, you know, right now I can't really foresee how anything ties in. But they're, you know, they may ramp up something a little bit. And then, you know, we'll see the movie on the first and something will, you know, kind of be revealed.
Kind of like it did in Captain America.
Yeah, but I can't see it being anywhere as grand as the Captain America crossover because, I mean, Avengers Age of Ultron, at least from what we've seen in the teasers, you know, it's just about this, you know, this robot takes over the world. And there's some other elements.
Just that.
Right. But, I mean, you're playing in a league with the Avengers, you're playing in a league completely outside of normal S.H.I.E.L.D., the normal S.H.I.E.L.D. playground. Sure. And Captain America, I mean, because he doesn't have any – well, he is – I mean, he's kind of super strong-ish, you know, with the super soldier serum and stuff like this. But there's – you know, he's
got
not –
super big pecs-ish too.
Right. Right. But it's not a man in armor. It's not a monster that has rage issues. It's not, you know, a god kind of thing. So it just – you know, I think it fits in better with – Captain America fit in better with what S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
does on a week-to-week basis and everything like that. So, obviously some questions have been raised about Coulson now, and I think next week feels like it's going to be a little bit more of a Coulson episode. I think the Coulson Hunter possibly Fitz storyline is going to continue now. There wasn't too much in the teaser that I saw for next week's episode. It was more an advertisement for Age of Ultron. Based on the write-up, it sounds like it's kind of a Coulson Hunter-focused story, kind of picking up where they were from last week's episode.
That made me want to see more of Hunter and Coulson, just kind of see what they're doing. So,
like I said last week, I enjoyed Hunter's interactions with Coulson so much. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested to see that. I think they, because Coulson is fun. He's a fun character, and Hunter is so flip about, you know, the way that he deals with stuff. It's they play off each other very well.
Sure, I know it's not the end of the season or anything, but I'm going to say right now, I think I'm just going to make the call for me that second season Hunter by far my favorite character. I thought it was going to be Bobby, and mm-hmm. she's kind of gone flat for me a little bit with her wavering on Coulson, you know.
Yeah.
But the Hunter character is so much more interesting to me.
He does have because he's, you know, he's the rogue, right? I mean, because you're not sure where his loyalties lie at the beginning of the season, and of course now he's the only one who's 100% signed on. You know, I mean, I think Fitz and Simmons are as well, but they're not with they're not with Coulson, right? I mean, they are, have their other jobs to do and stuff like this. And
right.
Hunter's the one, the first one that comes out and says, I'm going to sign this napkin and prove my loyalty and everything like that. So yeah, I agree with you. I think he's a really interesting character. A lot of good story possibilities, which means that they probably will kill him before the end of the season. I know.
Let's hope not.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Sky and the Inhumans and the afterlife, because we're still there. As you mentioned, Sky's mom, Jiaying, reveals herself to Sky, which was cool, right? They didn't draw that out over multiple episodes, which I think is probably good.
Did it surprise you how she revealed it, or maybe why she revealed it? I guess maybe we don't know for sure why, but just based on kind of how they played it out with her emotions coming through like that. That wasn't where I thought they were taking that character.
The last week, in the previous appearances of Jiaying, she's been very stoic.
Right.
And in this episode, she was just this really kind of almost, well, and motherly. There were a couple scenes where she was stoic, but she was bubbly, and just, but she was happy, right? Because she was getting spent time with her daughter and stuff, but hadn't told her at that point. And that felt weird.
It didn't feel natural to you.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, I didn't feel that Dietjen Lachman was playing the character in the same way she had played it before.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like she had gotten an entirely different direction on what to do in this particular episode.
It didn't throw me off as much.
It didn't?
No. I maybe I'm explaining it away, but so far I kind of like, where they're taking the Sky storyline, which I can't even believe I'm saying. After, almost two seasons, I'm kind of surprised that I'm liking it. But thinking of what she's gone through, what she was worried about based on the Bahrain stuff with Sky, and then now she's made this connection for the first time really ever with her daughter.
Right.
It didn't feel unnatural to me that she was becoming emotional and getting connected with Sky, especially after she did reveal herself to her.
Mm-hmm.
It felt okay to me. I can see where you're coming from, and you're right, a completely different character.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me too much.
The other thing that I felt, I like that they didn't drag out Sky, Jiaying revealing herself to Sky, because I always feel that like it's a tricky thing in a television show to kind of keep those interpersonal secrets between characters, because you do it too little, there's not enough drama invested in, or you don't get the audience invested enough in it, and you hold it on too long, and then you lose people's interest because it's like, for gosh sakes, come on, just get to it already. It's right. Like, it's ridiculous that this person doesn't know this, or it's like the problem Lost had with just some of their storylines, because they kept raising questions, but they never answered those questions. So I'm glad that they had Jiaying reveal herself to Sky, because I thought that was, if it's important to Jiaying to be working with her daughter, she should be telling her that she is her mother.
Yeah.
Right. So they got that out of the way. Conversely, when you're training somebody, I hate that when they have the character go from like not being able to do something to becoming a master in, too short a time. And not that Sky is a master by any stretch of the imagination, but it's like, let's communicate with the mountain, cause an avalanche. Boom, she did it. Ring this glass. And she rings the glass and she rings all the other glasses. She does cause them to explode, but I mean, she, and I felt she was just progressing way too fast. But maybe that's because of the environment that she's in. The
training or
the support, that's not the word I'm looking for, but the encouragement that she's getting from the people around her. Again, I feel there's something else weird going on here, and maybe it was that Jiaying Cal
relationship, just in general.
Yeah, the relationship, because she Jiaying is worried about that. She's also worried about the way that everybody is going to perceive Sky, because Jiaying appears to be in charge, which is what I mentioned last week, because she said it was her house or something like that. And then the whole Reyna thing as well, because you've got that tension that's building in there, and they introduced Lincoln into that this week, which I thought was, I don't know, it, even though this was the better part, I enjoyed the overall arc because we got more exposure to these characters, but I also felt that they kind of ripped through it quicker in some, you know, for some of the stuff than I would have liked to, I guess.
Yeah, they fit a lot into this episode, and maybe they could have stretched it out a little bit throughout some episodes, but on the other hand, you know, they got to a lot of stuff quickly, so we can kind of proceed from there for the rest of the season with the few episodes we've got left.
Right, yeah, because we're down to, five episodes left for the season here, so. Yeah. I mean, so I think they're going to come to the head with, you know, Sky getting some training or something like that, but something's going to happen where she's either going to need to leave or be forced to leave. You know, it's because she's been wanting to leave, right? But they want to keep her there. So I think that there will be something that comes up in that storyline where there's an external force that forces her to leave, or it's going to be the internal strife of the people kind of turning on her. Gordon is still rubbing me the wrong way from this episode as well.
Just as a character in general, or the way he...
I don't know. I mean, like, he's got ulterior motives because...
Yeah, it seems like it.
Lincoln is the transitioner, right? I mean, Gordon transports people. He shouldn't be in counseling Reyna, right? I mean, other than the fact that, like, he had a physical transformation and she had a physical transformation. But it doesn't seem like he's helping or anything like that, just because... I mean, he's yelling at Lincoln. He's yelling at Reyna.
Well, no, let me ask you, and I'm not defending it because I kind of agree with you. And
yeah.
I'm not sure what his role is. Like, it doesn't seem like he has a very defined role.
He's
in
the
this,
taxi driver,
in this
basically.
Afterlife thing. Yeah, I mean, that.
He's Latka.
But he does so. But he does other things in addition to that. So it doesn't seem like it's very defined. But
pizza delivery.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Fast.
Yeah.
Fresh.
Did Giorno?
It does seem like he has something else going on, or
he's working with somebody else. Like, you know, he's with them. You know, I mean, and again, I would not put it past them to be doing this kind of dichotomy, right? You know, you've got people working for real SHIELD inside SHIELD. You know, as double agents. So why not have a inhuman? You know, be working for another faction inside the faction we're working with. I mean, we don't know anything about these people and stuff like that. I really enjoyed what they were doing with Reyna, though. I liked seeing more of her makeup, which the more as I watch it, I'm like, oh my God, how long does it take for them to put all that stuff on the actress? It's just. Because I hadn't noticed this before, but she's got her ears are all like. Like a porcupine or something like that. I mean, they're just weird looking ears. They're not human ears anymore.
They're different shaped. And the way they transition down her nose, I thought, is it real interesting?
Oh, yeah. The spikes go from longer to shorter and everything like that.
Even the shape of her nose is different, which...
And she's got the contacts and she's got the teeth and everything.
I don't know if this is just... looking at her and just who I am or how she's playing or whatever, but I do feel very sorry for her. I mean,
she would tell you not to pity her though, right? Because she'd rather be put to death right now than have people look at her like that.
I wouldn't tell her to her face,
right?
You know, I don't want her to hug me or anything like that. But I feel sorry for her because she clearly wanted something more, something like Sky or. It's any of the other ones, I guess, that are up there with cool powers.
Right.
But, anyway.
Man, why did I get this stupid power? Well, it appears that the power that she got, that they kind of intimated that she had, was the power of prophecy, which, you know, is just kind of ironic given her stance on the whole thing. She spent a whole season basically believing in these prophecies about who she is, or, you know, who her grandmother told her she was and all that kind of stuff. And then she found out that, you know, everything was she thought that everything was a lie. And now she's totally down on herself, but she's having these dreams that, what was it, that Sky and her parents were having dinner together and they were happy. I mean, I think that's the direct quote. Now, I found that whole scene just really weird, the way they set it up, because I didn't quite remember her saying that earlier. And then to just have it ring over as a voiceover with Lincoln on screen and then Lincoln responding out loud, but to the, you know, the remembering
referencing
voice,
the time that she had told him that earlier in the
episode, right? It was just it seemed really weird. It was kind of an awkward it was an awkward scene, I think, and that's what I was getting at.
Yeah,
of
and I think the flowers, I think, were the thing they were trying to put in there to make that connection to what she said and showing earlier, because they focused right on the flowers.
Oh, that's flower,
and
right?
That's where Lincoln was starting to remember that. But I had to kind of
was cool. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Right, because I mean, obviously, she's the woman in the flower dress, right. And flowers have been a big motif around her.
Right,
so.
Right. And the thorns, too. They kind of mentioned thorns, which always makes me think of the flower dress
flowers,
had. But, I think it wasn't so much for me the dinner scene as the scene where she was telling Lincoln about that dream. I think they should have put more emphasis on that to make it sound more important instead of – because to me, it just sounded like she was kind of jealous. Like,
well, I was wondering
if everybody's happy and here, look, I'm pointy, you know.
Right. And maybe that's how I read it, or that's how I heard it the first time, so I wasn't paying as much attention to it. And then I think it would have been better if they had done, you know, an actual – when he was standing there instead of just hearing her voice, because I'm like, wait, is she telepathic now? You know, that's like
oh,
that was
right, –
I mean,
right, yeah.
That's the confusion that I was getting into.
I did have that thought too. I kind of momentarily thought
– yeah, so if they had done one of those things where it kind of just – cuts back to her saying that again, same shot and everything, I think that would have worked well. I mean, that's just an editing or a directorial choice or whatever. So
good point. I would have played it really well. I like that.
But
I'm curious as to what's going to happen after this dinner, if they're even going to show it. But it was an interesting scene. You know, Cal was so happy and everything was working out. He even mentioned, you know, I just want everything to be perfect. And it is.
Right.
You know, for the first time
psycho.
Ever, right? And she did really seem
and she said something
pleased
she,
or happy.
Sky right. Did. And Sky said something complimentary to him. It's like she wasn't just jabbing at him. It's like, you know, thank you for bringing me here. You know, thank you for putting me through all this, basically, because otherwise I never would have met my mother.
And Jiaying was deliberately making them have that connection by mentioning the birth date, you know, and Sky.
Oh, I'll tell that story again. We
Sky,
just heard
you know,
that
Sky
dad.
Clearly knew what she was doing,
right.
What Jiaying was doing.
Yeah.
But she went along with it to.
Right, because because they'd already just gone through that in the training sequence and stuff like that.
Gave him something to talk about, you know, so there wasn't this awkward silence or these awkward conversations.
Well, they're letting.
Hey, by the way, you tried to kill all my friends. And
right. Well, I mean, and Cal's just so full. I will almost just say he's full of anxiety over all this, which manifests itself in anger, you know, sometimes. So it just is a great way for him to get some of that anxiety out. It's like, oh, here's a softball. Remember how crazy it was when she was born? It's like, oh, yes, I know that story. I'm going to tell that. Can I tell that story? All right. This is a great story. I don't know if they'll show any more of that.
Even just where it goes. I mean, I don't even need this dinner scene or what happened right after, but it kind of made me wanting more to see that how that relationship is going to play out, or what's Jiaying really playing at? Because she certainly wasn't that pleasant and nice when she was with Cal by himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was last week or the week before. And she wasn't going to let him see Sky for a little bit, you know,
right.
If at all. So I did like that. That was kind of a good scene for me in this episode.
And we got Sky's birthday of July 2nd, 1988. And we had thought it was going to be 89. She thought she was 25. And now all of a sudden, boom, up. Oh, she's a year older than she thought she was. And she'll be turning 27 here in a few months.
My
so.
Junior year. My birthday's in July, too.
So oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm older than her. Sadly.
So, not my favorite episode. I feel it was uneven, and the the flashback stuff, while it was cool the way that they linked the two stories on Jia Ying's hesitance to be working with Sky and her fear of the population finding out more about her and that Jia Ying knew about this and all that kind of stuff. I would have liked to have just gotten more than one line about Jia Ying getting put back together. I mean, she's like, oh, after, you know, your dad pieced me back together. It's like, really?
What? She says, I don't know. Wait, what? Wait, can we go back to that?
Yeah, thing about the piecing together.
Sky didn't seem to hesitate either. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, you do have some scars here. Look at that. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, because, you know, I thought you. And remember, you know, I was saying, I think it was last week, did Jia Ying ever really love Cal? I mean, because she was seeming so cold and stuff. And in this one, you know, she's talking about her memories and she's being really bubbly and stuff. And I would say now, if I were just to watch, you know, base it on this episode, that she really did care for Cal. I mean, I think they do have or did have a connection, you know, at that point. And
yeah,
stuff
I'm
like
not
that,
sure
so.
He does now, though.
Yeah.
Seems like it anyway.
Since he went kind of bat stuff crazy, you know, decades ago or shortly after Sky was taken, I guess, she probably just doesn't want anything to do with it. I mean, I don't know. It's the relationship status on Facebook probably just says it's complicated, right? You know, so I don't really know. So
he's tearing me apart.
But I just felt it was an uneven episode. There wasn't a lot of stuff that really grabbed me. I mean, and again, the flashback stuff was it was not exactly what I was expecting. So maybe that's why I'm a little disappointed, because it didn't go more to. I mean, I'm glad they did stuff that was not expected, but it was. I felt that they. You were saying embellishing, but I think it's more of a lie, you know, for that. So,
all right.
We got a couple pieces of feedback here I want to touch on. The first one was from Twitter, from Jonathan, and he just he wanted to point out to us and say that I'm surprised that Agents Podcast hasn't commented that the difference in Gonzalez versus Coulson is setting up Civil War. So I'm assuming he's talking about the upcoming Captain America Civil War movie, but also just the Civil War storyline from the comic books, mm-hmm. which you're familiar with that.
A little bit, yeah.
So it's basically, in the comic books, it's a Superhero Registration Act, and Iron Man comes down on the pro-government side, and Captain America comes down on the not-government side, that heroes should not have to register with the government, and Tony is saying, you know, we should. So I do see there's a little bit of that similarity in the views that Gonzalez has about the way S.H.I.E.L.D. should be run versus Coulson. And I don't know if that's what the Marvel Cinematic Universe is doing for the Civil War storyline, because it obviously is not going to necessarily be a Superhero Registration Act, because we have so few superheroes and there really is no secret identity for the majority of them, I believe. So they may be setting up something else, like superpowered indexable individuals versus non-indexable individuals. I don't know. So
yeah, but it's got that same feel to it, whereas
and us versus them.
Yeah, I don't know if they do that in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., just like you said, because it's not as common as it would be in the comic books, or say like an X-Men movie, which they obviously, you know, can't do. But
right,
on this show we've seen them pull story ideas from comics that weren't necessarily exactly the same or as grand of scale as the comics,
thematically similar.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that it is similar to that. So. I'm going to say to Jonathan that I thought it in my head, even if I didn't say it out loud.
Okay.
Does that count?
Good. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right. Good. Right?
So, that's cool.
Well, we had one other piece of feedback, too. This was just recently, right before we recorded, we got this, actually, from Mark on Facebook. And,
not the same Mark that was emailing us the red tape.
No, this is picture. A different Mark.
Different Mark.
Mark L.
Mark L.
Mark L. And he wrote a lot of stuff here, but I wanted to touch on one thing specifically. First, you said, hello, Jay and Josh. It's always good getting your take on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well as The Flash, Arrow, and the recent short series, Agent Carter. And thanks for the plug for the,
oh,
for
yeah,
the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah.
That was nice. So, but he was talking about this episode with the situation that Agent May had to go through mm-hmm. with the child.
Yeah. Okay.
And
the traumatic episode.
The very
discussed, yep.
traumatic part. And he you know, goes to say that he thinks this episode was one of Ming-Na Wen's finest performances on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And in the short amount of time mm-hmm. that her backstory was presented, you're witness this heartbreaking tale of how she was a loving wife and longed for the day to have her own child. And then he says, you know, myself being a father of three young children, it is unfathomable to imagine ever being in a situation where one would harm children in such a horrific manner.
Yeah.
But Ming-Na Wen played the part as it had to be done in order to be true to the story of Agent May. So thought it was powerful and heartbreaking. I agree to that part. I kind of talked about that earlier, and it was hard to watch, which, you know, I thought made it an emotional episode, even if some of the other things didn't click.
Right, right. And that's what I kind of intimated that earlier as well, just in the fact that, you know, usually don't show the violence against animals or kids on TV because it does provoke such an emotional response in the audience and can easily turn fans of a character against that character, yeah. right? I mean, it's one of those lines that is difficult to uncross.
Yes.
I think when they get to it. But, yeah, Ming-Na did a very admirable job. And she showed a lot of range in this episode, especially because, as I mentioned, she's been playing Agent May one way since the beginning of the series. And we get to see her character in an entirely different light in this episode before the events of Bahrain and everything like this. So we can now compare what she was before to who she is after, and the level of difference between the two ways that she portrays the character
right.
Speaks volumes about that character
yes.
and everything like that. So.
Yes, and if she is close by here in Anaheim, that's all good stuff we're saying to her, and we'd like to say it right to her face. So.
Save it right to her face. That'd be cool. I think there was only one real reference here. Well, I mean, there were lots of little references because we were mentioning the kind of the Avengers initiative that they were kind of talking in and about here and stuff like this with the superpowered individuals. But Coulson has one line totally referencing the Avengers where he said, instead of this catch and release with powered people, we form a team, take Earth's mightiest to find out if they're heroes, which Earth's mightiest heroes is mm-hmm. subtitle of many Avengers comics, and the most recent cartoon series, I think, was just called Avengers or Earth's Mightiest Heroes. So that just totally shouted out to me. But I don't know that I don't think there was anything else really referential in this episode that I saw.
Either.
Yeah. So what were your overall thoughts, though, on the episode? Like,
I think I actually maybe liked this one a little bit more than you. I didn't think it developed a story as far as maybe it could, but I really did like the stuff with Sky and Jia Ying, and I did like the scene, the backstory of I keep on saying Ming-Na now, but of Agent May.
Right.
One little thing I wanted to kind of point out is I really kind of like how they bookended the episode with her starting off in the shower and then ending up in the shower as a completely different emotional shower experience, and not just because, you know, she was in the shower. That's not why I said, but
right.
But I mean, it was the same scene.
Right. The first one, she's with Andrew, and it's a very loving thing. And the second one is just the very still tableau of her, you know, totally distraught.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So
that's true.
It was a nice way to book in and show how she had changed from one extreme to the other within the course of this episode.
I felt some of that stuff was just a little heavy-handed, and because they were – maybe there was too much they were trying to pack into this episode, because they did use some of those visual shorthands
mm-hmm.
with Andrew grabbing her hand, and then she has the flashback to the girl reaching out for her, and she pulls away from Andrew, you know, just to show that she can't connect with him anymore. And, of course, that's probably why they're not together now. I mean, we don't know all the details, but we can assume this is, you know – where it completely went downhill. So you know, we'll see. Maybe there's stuff that was set up in this episode that is going to now pay off in the next 4 or 5 episodes.
Yeah.
And that payoff will add some weight back to this episode or something like that. So,
well, I think this episode will play real well overall when the season comes out together and as you're watching, you know, in more of a series of episodes.
Maybe. Right.
But,
right.
So,
cool. All right. Well, I think that's all we've got for this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
Well, just about, except I did want to say,
yes.
You know, this weekend,
yes,
it is your birthday.
What?
It is.
It is.
And I wanted to wish you a happy birthday. And you know what? I brought you something.
Oh, did you bring me the pain?
I did. You know, I wrapped it in pain.
Oh.
Does that count?
It's okay.
You can keep the pain if you want, but
okay.
I brought you that since I knew I was going to see you in person on your
I'm
birthday.
I'm shaking it right now.
Okay.
Do you hear it? Nobody hears it. So.
Yeah, don't shake it too hard. It's
okay.
You know,
I think I killed it.
No, you can open that and I don't know how shocked and surprised you'll be when you get it. But
all right,
here, open it right.
Oh, we're going to open it live.
Live right there. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's going to be shocking.
Oh, it's a white box.
White box. Okay.
Uh oh. It's a Hydra logo. It says Coulson Lives on it.
Okay.
And then, yeah.
And it's.
Is there going to be like a Hydra that jumps out at me like when I open
no,
this up here?
It's a toolbox. No.
I've got. That'd be great.
No.
So black.
That would have
paper.
Been actually better. But I wanted to get you a variety of colors.
Oh, okay. So we've got a S.H.I.E.L.D. T-shirt here, which looks similar to the S.H.I.E.L.D. T-shirt I'm wearing now.
Not exactly.
But it's a larger – it's the old version of the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo.
Yes.
From the comics, which is great. I love that one with the eagle, with the full eagle, not just the techno eagle, the square-edged eagle.
And not new S.H.I.E.L.D.
And not new S.H.I.E.L.D.
Not Gonzalez's S.H.I.E.L.D. Although that's
– That would be interesting if cool they logo. Had that. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Josh. That's
great.
Oh, you're
great. Very welcome. You know, it's –
Awesome.
Yeah, I'd get you something S.H.I.E.L.D. for sure.
So, yeah. All right. Well, that's great.
Spares, but, all right. Well, you know what? Hey, I've had a great time recording in person with you in this episode, and we hope you guys had a good time.
Do this again.
We hope you guys had fun listening to us, and if you did, please leave feedback for us on iTunes. Also, you can contact us. You can send us an email, shield@randomchatter.com, or you can get in touch with us on Twitter like Jonathan did, @AgentsPodcast, or you can contact us on Facebook like Mark did.
Yeah.
Mark.
Mark L.
Mark L. Or Mark.
Yeah. Or Mark A.
Yeah. That's facebook.com/agentspodcast.
You can also check out the other podcasts that Josh and I host, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast and Scarlet Velocity of Flash Podcast, which are on randomchatter.com. All shows also are available on the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. If you're at Star Wars Celebration, tell all your Star Wars friends about us, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that there's a crossover, I think, between Marvel franchises and Star Wars franchises.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that.
You and I. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from level 3.5.
This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.